there. If you weren't awake, you're awake now. Hey, everyone, just want to say hi to all of you at different locations. We're so glad that you're joining us from the various places where we have services, and want to welcome all of you who are joining us online around the world as well. If you're new here to our church and we haven't met, my name is Dave. I'm one of the teaching pastors on the team, and super glad that you're here. And last Sunday, we started a series called Breakthrough, and we learned how God wants to help us break through difficult circumstances by looking at a story of King David. And we learned from King David that one of God's names is this. If you look up on the screen, you'll see here that God is referred to as Baal-perazim. And what does that mean? That means one of God's names is he is the God of the, say it with me, breakthrough. That's why we're doing this series, because God wants to do some breakthroughs in your life. And so today we're going to study another person in Scripture and see what breakthroughs God did in his life. And his name is Joseph. Joseph. And we're going to study his life in Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 50, where we learn the story about his life and the many breakthroughs that God did. And we're going to do this so that we can learn how to position ourselves to have more breakthroughs in our lives, all right? So let's just jump right into it. Look at the first scripture here. It says this, the story starts off, "Now Jacob loved Joseph more." So from the very beginning, we see here that Joseph was dad's favorite. And he loved him more than any of his other sons because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day he gives Joseph this special gift. He gives him a beautiful robe. So he gives Joseph this beautiful technicolor robe, and his brothers hated Joseph because of their father's partiality. So again, Joseph is one of his dad's favorite. He's got this robe that he's wearing. And you can imagine if one of your siblings was your parents' favorite and they were wearing this robe that just flaunted how high, I'm special, you know, dad likes me more than he likes you. I mean, that would just irritate you. And Joseph was one of the youngest in the family. And I think many of us have recognized that the youngest in the family tend to get away with more than others. Isn't that right? Like at all of our locations, how many of you, by show of hands, are the youngest in the family? If you're the youngest in the family, lift your hands up, okay? Let's just go ahead and boo these privileged divas right now, everyone. Boo! And I'm joking, of course, and I got my hand up because guess what? I'm the youngest in my family. And I got a test, man. I got away with murder. I mean, not literally, just for the record, but I mean, I got away with so much being the youngest in the family. And that was happening in Joseph's life. And so his brothers hated him. And to make matters worse, when Joseph is 17, he has this dream given to him by God at night. And he's, you know, here he is with his technicolor coat. And he basically comes in and says, in my words, he's like, hey, everybody, dad, brothers, got an announcement to make. God gave me a dream last night. And in the dream, you guys are all bowing down to me. Just saying, one day you're going to bow down to moi, Joseph. And you can imagine how they responded. They're like, I like kill you. You know, they hated him. Now, do you notice any character issues in Joseph that God might want to work out of him? Number one, he's very impulsive. He doesn't think before he speaks. Number two is he's got some pride issues. He's like, hey, it's me, walking around all high, maka maka, you know, or old school, all tantaran, hey, you know. And his brothers hated him for it. Well, what happened was, 22 years later, this dream that God gave him actually was fulfilled, and his brothers did bow down to him once Joseph had become the number two person in charge of the largest nation at the time, which was Egypt. So the dream became fulfilled, but it was 22 years later. So here's my question to all of you at our different locations. What happened from here to here? What happened in his life? Well, number one, he had a lot of trials, tests, and troubles. But number two is, along the way, he had several breakthroughs. And some of you need breakthroughs in this area. He had job breakthroughs. along the way. He had some negative emotion breakthroughs where he was able to overcome bitterness and unforgiveness. He had some amazing financial breakthroughs. He had huge pay increases, all kinds of perks that came his way. And he had relational breakthroughs where his relationships were ultimately restored with his brothers and his family. And so the question is what did Joseph do in between this period of his life that allowed him to have all these breakthroughs and then this massive breakthrough here? What did he do? Well, we're actually going to dive into the story, and I want you to just catch this. If you will do what Joseph did, you will position yourself to experience many of these breakthroughs from God. And so let's see what Joseph did. Let's go into the story. So back to the story. Joseph's brothers hate him, and they come up with this idea. We got to get this punk out of our life, okay? So what we're going to do is they first think they're going to kill him. And they're like, they're going to feel too guilty about that, you know? So they're like, here's what we're going to do. So they beat him up. They throw him into a pit. And then they're thinking, oh, man, we got to make up a story to cover this up. So they go and they kill a wild animal. They take the blood from that wild animal. They sprinkle it all over this technicolor coat that Joseph's dad gave him. And then they take it home. They're like, Dad, oh, man, Joseph was killed by a wild animal. That didn't happen, but that's what they said. They also pulled Joseph out of the pit because they see these traveling gypsies, these Ishmaelites, and they sell him to these Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Now, here's what the pit represents in Joseph's life, and here's what it can represent in your life. The pit is when you are going through a situation where you're misunderstood and you're mistreated by those who are what? Close to you. And this is the most painful, I think. I mean, this has happened to me numerous times. Where, you know, I get misunderstood. You know, any of you got any communication issues? Know what I'm saying? You get mistreated, harsh words, arguments, things don't happen well. And some of you feel like you're in a pit right now. And I just want you to know, as I was praying this week, I just felt like God's saying there's a lot of people that are feeling this way, Dave. And I want you to pray for them. And so I've been praying for you because I know the pain of being in a situation where I'm misunderstood and mistreated. It happens quite a bit in my life. And so I just want you to know, I've been praying for you. Hang in there. And I hope the things I share with you from Joseph's life will encourage you. So let's get back to the story. The Ishmaelites, they take Joseph straight into Egypt. And you know what they do is they put him in a slave auction. And a guy named Potiphar purchases Joseph. And then he takes Joseph into his home, which was a big home, and he puts Joseph in charge of that. And you can imagine how Joseph is feeling. I mean, put yourself in his shoes. First of all, you're in a foreign country, probably having to learn a brand new language. Your family totally mistreated you. They don't understand you. You've been radically abused, beat up. I mean, domestic violence, big time. And now you're a slave in a foreign land. Now, what does Joseph do? Does he get bitter where he's like, you know what? That was so wrong. And he's just like focusing solely on that. And this is so wrong. I'm a slave. How can I be a slave? I'm my dad's favorite. You should have seen the coat I had. You know, is he doing that? No. Here's what Joseph does. And listen, if you want to position yourself for breakthrough, this is what you need to do too. And this is it. Write this down. Don't get bitter. Get what? Get better. Just choose to forgive. Doesn't mean they deserve your forgiveness, but don't get bitter. Get better wherever you are planted. And that's exactly what Joseph did. You know what happens on his job in Potiphar's house? He becomes a stellar employee. And he has great integrity. He becomes trustworthy. And then he experiences his first breakthrough. And it was a job breakthrough. Let's take a look at it in the scripture. Genesis 39. It says here, Joseph's master Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. And he saw that the Lord made Joseph successful in everything he did. By the way, you know why it's good to be a Christian? Because success can come your way. So Potiphar was, say it with me, pleased. So his boss, this is a key point, his boss was pleased with him. And then he promotes him to be his attendant, which means he put him in charge of all of Potiphar's affairs. Now, who was Potiphar? Potiphar was in charge of Pharaoh's security force. He was like the head of the secret service for Pharaoh. And not only was he in charge of the Secret Service, Pharaoh was also in charge of the Pharaoh's prison. So this was a man with a huge responsibility, and Joseph is now in charge of his house. And it says here that Potiphar trusted Joseph to take care of everything he owned. So Joseph worked really hard prior to promotion to be trustworthy. In other words, he was a stellar employee. Now, it kind of reminds me, in my first job out of college, I was so tempted to get bitter and not better. And I don't know if you ever struggle with that, but when I graduated from college, I had a business degree, and I was so naive. I thought, I'm going to get a job where I'm making $40,000 a year. It's going to be a cush job. I'm going to work in an office. And let me just tell you, things didn't quite work out that way. I was not making $40,000 in my first job. I was making $6.50 an hour. And I was working for Terminix Pest Control. And I had these green polyester pants that were super tight. I had the clip-on tie, green matching tie, the Terminix uniform. And I had to do every role in a branch of Terminix. And so I was a fumigator, or I'd throw tarps over houses to tent them for termites. And that was backbreaking. Then when I wasn't doing that, I had to drill through, you know, 4 to 8 inch concrete for 10 to 12 hours a day in the blistering sun, just for termite treatments. Had to spray houses. I had to do all these different roles. I had to crawl in hot attics. I had to crawl underneath homes. And I remember one time I was crawling underneath a home, and I'm all by myself, and it's just dusty, and I'm crawling around, and then I come around the corner under in the crawl space, and there's this mummified dead cat, and it's like this. I was like, ah! You know? I was like, ah! And I was just freaked out, and I mean, I'm still getting therapy for the trauma. But I was there, and I was just like, I went to college for this? Why did I do that? This sucks. And I wanted to get so bitter. And I kind of processed through that, and I was just like, no, I'm not going to quit. And basically, I said to myself, Dave, you can either get bitter or you can get better, but you can't do both. And so I allowed that job to start making me better, and I stopped grumbling as much. I started to just work as hard as I could, and I tried to become trustworthy and be flexible. And I remember one day the regional manager called me into his office, and I was like, oh, this isn't good. Because I was the kind of kid in high school, let's just say I was called into the office once or twice. And so I'm having flashbacks like, oh, man, why is he calling me in? So the regional manager calls me in, you know, it's like big-time position he had. And I'm like, hi. And he's all, Dave, I'd like you to sit down. I'm like, oh, no. He's all, Dave, I've been watching you, and I've been asking a lot of people about you. He said, you know what I found out? I was all, what? He said, I found out that you work really hard. And I found out that you're really flexible. And everything that you've been assigned, you've been faithful to do and trustworthy. And he said, and because of that, I'd only worked there for a year and a half. And because of that, he said, I'm going to promote you to become the branch manager of the largest branch in our region. I was like, what? That doesn't happen. And I want to ask you, what happened there? The God of the breakthrough gave me a promotion. I had no clue what I was doing. I was 23 years old. And so God took my feeble attempts of becoming better, not bitter, and he gave me a promotion for his plans and purposes for my life. Watch this. Because that job as a branch manager, guess what it taught me to do? It taught me to lead and hire people and to manage people. It taught me how to deal with difficult people. It taught me to deal with difficult customers, how to manage a business financially. It taught me everything. It taught me how to speak in front of people. I was terrified to speak in front of people. That job made me do that. It taught me what I needed to do to become a pastor, because God knew, Dave, down the line, you're going to need to know how to do these things. I'm going to promote you now. You shouldn't be promoted, but I'm going to promote you now because I have plans for you to one day be a pastor in Kaneohe to a church called New Hope Windward. You see what I mean? It was his plan all along. But you know what? I thought, But what if I hadn't become better and instead I'd become bitter? Probably wouldn't have gotten that promotion. And so I want to encourage you, if you need a job breakthrough, do what Joseph did. Become a stellar employee if you aren't already. Be a person of integrity. Don't cut corners. Folks, Christians should be the best employees on the job because we represent Jesus and we work for him, Scripture says, ultimately. And so we should be the most stellar employees on the team where we don't grumble. We can deal with problems, but we're not going to grumble all the time and gossip and go around. Where we focus hard on pleasing those that God has placed over us, our leaders. Listen, our bosses should assign us things and they should never have to follow up with us to see if we got them done. And if you will do that, because that's what Joseph did, you will position yourself for breakthroughs. Now, you need to hear this. If you will do that, you've got some breakthroughs coming your way. It's just a matter of time. And God wants to do it. Amen? So, we want to become better, not bitter. Now, let's kind of go back into the story. So, Joseph is the head of Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife starts to notice that Joseph has some good looks. In fact, the scriptures say that Joseph was well-built and he was handsome. And I was kind of curious. I did a little word study this week. I was kind of curious to see in the ancient Hebrew what the word handsome is literally translated to. And this is what I found. The word handsome is translated to 6-foot holy guy with fair skin. That's what it means. Look it up for yourself. It's just fascinating and was very encouraging. And anyway, so one day Joseph, I was totally kidding. Joseph is at work and Potiphar's wife, he's all alone and she walks in and she's like, this is my interpretation. She walks in, she's like, hey, Jojo, come. And Joseph responds to her seduction this way. Take a look here. He says, you're my boss's wife. How could I do such an evil thing like that? How could I sin against God and go to bed with you? And she didn't give up. So he's refusing her advances. So she spoke to Joseph day after day. Can I just say something on the side? Some of you have people, you're married and you have somebody that's making advances towards you, like Potiphar's wife, day after day. Man, you need to run. And I'm going to show you that in a second. Because Joseph told her he wouldn't go to bed with her. And she doesn't like that response. She doesn't like it. So one day he's all alone in the house. And she makes another advance towards him. He refuses her. You know what she does? She grabs his clothes, trying to pull him in, and he runs. And let me tell you, if somebody's hitting on you and you're married, you need to flee like Joseph, like run. So she's got his clothes. He's going this way. She pulls some of his clothes off. He's running out. You know the other slaves saw this in the house. And then she screams, he tried to sexually assault me. Can you imagine how he felt? He's like, man, I was just trying to do what was right, and I'm being falsely accused? Well, what's so sad is Potiphar, her husband, believes her false accusations. He gets livid and throws Joseph into jail for attempted sexual assault. You know what the prison represents in our lives? The prison represents when you are falsely accused. And you and I will be accused time and time again. It's funny in this role. Well, it's not funny. It just happens because I'm in a public role. I get accused of stuff that is so false all the time. I'll hear people, they'll use my name. They'll say, well, you know, Pastor Dave said that he wants us to do this because they want something to happen in their ministry. I'm like, I never said that. And then people would just say things that aren't wrong. I had somebody call me a few years ago. They're like, Dave, you're alive? I was like, yeah. They're like, I heard you died. I was like, well, if I did, I'm calling you from heaven right now. They had heard I had died. I've been accused of death. But let me ask you, have you been falsely accused of anything lately? You know, that's going to happen to us in life where you have those days. And how about this? You know, Joseph's like, I was trying to do the honorable thing. I was trying to honor God and I get thrown in jail. Joseph's probably thinking, wow, what a great dream you have for my life, God. Here I am in prison. You know, wow, your plans for my life, they're so good. You allow me to be beat up by my brothers and thrown into a pit. That was awesome. Then I'm sold as a slave in Potiphar's house. Woo! Like being a slave. False assault charges for honoring you. God, this is exactly how I pictured my life turning out. You ever had days like that where you're like, I never thought my life would turn out this way. I never thought that we would get a divorce. I never thought that that child that I held would one day grow up and be a drug addict. I never thought that. I never thought my kid would be incarcerated. I never thought my loved one would die unexpectedly like that. You ever have those days? Like, God, what's going on, man? What do you do? Here it is. What do you do when you're in the prisons of life, so to speak, and life doesn't turn out the way that you thought it would? What do you do? Here's what you need to remember. This is so important. You need to remember, and say it with me, that the Lord is with you. Look at what Scripture says. While Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. While you're in your prisons of life, God is with you. You are not alone. You may feel alone, but you're not alone. And even if things don't go your way, God is with you. Even if you're falsely accused, God is with you. Even when you're mistreated, God is with you. One day, this man was in this hotel in Norway, true story, and he's staying in his room, and he hears a piano being played downstairs, and he just hears this pling and plonk, and nothing's being played well on the piano. And so he finds out that there's this little girl who's playing, and she's just this little toddler, and she doesn't know what she's doing, so she's just kind of beating on the piano. And it's just irritating this man in the hotel room. He's like, my gosh, stop the noise already. And then all of a sudden, he hears this beautiful music being played while this little girl is plinging, plonking on the piano. And he finds out later that what had happened was is the girl's father, while she was playing, he came down to her level, sat on the piano seat, put his arm under hers, and he started playing this beautiful song while she was plinging and plonking on the piano. We found out that the father was a very famous composer in Norway. And I saw that imagery, I thought, you know, that's what God does in our life. Like, we go through situations where we just feel like we're plinging and plonking, and just the noise in our life is just irritating and it's frustrating, and maybe even we're making some mistakes in our lives. Joseph didn't, but sometimes we do in this situation we're talking about. And then God just comes and he puts his arm underneath yours, and he starts weaving in this beautiful music with all of the difficulties and mistakes that are happening in your life. God promises in Romans 8:28 to work all things for your good for those who love him and are called according to his good purpose. And that's what God can do. So no matter what you're going through, you need to remember the Lord is with you. You are not alone. And so what happens to Joseph? He's in prison. Instead of getting bitter, he gets better. He becomes a stellar inmate. He decides, I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. So he's an inmate with integrity. He's working hard. And guess what happens? God then promotes him in the prison he's a prisoner. He's now in charge of the prison. A prisoner running the prison. Talk about a promotion. And here's what I want you to catch. Some of you are in a prison right now. You just feel like you're in a prison, relationally, financially, at your job, wherever it is. God wants to do promotions while you're in that so-called prison. We think, oh, the breakthrough will happen once I'm out of this prison. No. God loves to do breakthroughs in the prisons of life. And he wants to do many in your life. And so respond like Joseph. Don't get bitter. Get bitter. Get even with them. Give them lickings. No, sorry. Get better, you guys, because breakthroughs are coming your way. And remember, the Lord is with you. So Joseph is in prison, and then more drama happens. Joseph accurately interprets the dreams of two inmates that worked for Pharaoh. They had been incarcerated, and Joseph, one of them was a baker, one is a cupbearer. And what happens is Joseph says, basically, he interprets these dreams with God's help, and he tells the baker, you're going to die here soon. And he tells the cupbearer, hey, God's going to restore you. You're going to be a cupbearer for the Pharaoh again. And then Joseph says to the cupbearer, hey, and don't forget me that I interpreted these dreams. Don't forget me, okay? So the cupbearer gets out of prison, is restored to his position just like the dreams had told them. And then Joseph had told them through the interpretation. And guess what happens? The cupbearer forgets Joseph. And you know, I know this week just been praying, some of you feel forgotten. You just feel forgotten. Maybe you feel overlooked on the job. You're like, man, I work so hard and I get no appreciation. Some of you feel forgotten by family members. You're like, man, all I've done for them. Some of you just literally have been forgotten by others. And what I want you to catch is this, is that you may be forgotten by people, but God will never forget you. And you may be in a prison, but God is with you. And he wants to do breakthroughs in your prison. And so Joseph remained in prison 2 years longer. And you need to know that no matter how long you're in a certain prison, God is right there with you. And God was right there with Joseph, and he remained a stellar leader. He was now learning. Man, think of what Joseph learned in that prison. Like, try leading inmates. You'll learn a lot. You know, that's a tough job. And I think God was probably like, listen, I'm going to teach Joseph how to lead a nation by having him lead a bunch of inmates first. And I'm going to have him work in really junk conditions. Let me tell you, the prisons back then were god-awful. They were not like OCCC out here. They didn't have air con. They didn't have running water. No electricity. They didn't have TV. These were dungeons. Joseph did not have a nice crib. You know what I'm saying? And so he's learning to be content, and he's leaning hard on God. Listen, sometimes God will allow you to be in a prison so you learn to be content. Why did God have me start with a job with low pay? So I could learn to be content with pay. And God was teaching me how to submit to authority. I had some bosses at that job that were really difficult to work with. But God was teaching me, you don't get your way, homie. Because if you can't submit to them, you're not going to be able to submit to me as the pastor of a church. You better learn how to submit, son. And I learned how to submit on that job. Joseph's learning all of that in the prisons of life. And here's my point, is some of you in prisons and God wants you to learn the character that you need to learn to prepare you to handle the amazing things that are coming your way. Does that make sense? Because he wants to prepare you to be able to handle and manage what's coming your way. And so, what happens? Well, Pharaoh has two disturbing dreams. And none of his magicians could interpret the dreams. And the cupbearer goes, oh yeah, hey, there's a guy in prison that interpreted a dream accurately for me. And what's his name? Joseph. They pull Joseph out of prison. Joseph interprets these dreams, and here's how it goes. Joseph says this to Pharaoh. Here's what's going to happen after he heard the dreams. With God's help, he interpreted the dreams. He says, for 7 years, Egypt is going to be blessed by God with amazing crops. And we need to save the excess crops because 7 years after this time of blessing is going to come 7 years of a massive drought. And so we need to hold on to the excess so that our nation during that famine can survive. And it says here, look at this scripture. As Joseph was telling this story, look at what Pharaoh does. I'm getting ahead of myself. Pharaoh notices that the Spirit of God is in Joseph. And you know what he tells Joseph? He says this. He says, you are so smart. Here's what we're going to do, Joseph. He says, I see that the Spirit of God is in you. I'm going to put you in charge of the entire storage process. In fact, Joseph, you're going to get a promotion today where you're going to be the only one in Egypt with a higher rank than you. In other words, Joseph, you're going to become the president and I'm going to be the Pharaoh over you. You're going to be the president of a huge nation. So catch this massive promotion that happens to Joseph. In 24 hours, he goes from prisoner to president. He goes from a dungeon crib to a palace, baby. Wow. I mean, this is a massive, massive breakthrough. He goes from the prison to the palace in one day. And here's what I want you to catch. There's some breakthroughs coming your way, New Hope, that are going to happen in a 24-hour period where you're in the prison, and in one day, you're going to be like, what? And you're going to be like, oh my gosh, only God could have done that. For others of you, a massive breakthroughs are coming your way. It may not happen in 24-hour days, in a 24-hour period, but it's going to happen over time. But you need to catch this. God keeps saying this. Dave, make sure they catch this. Breakthroughs are coming your way if you do what God's asking you to do. For some of you, God's sitting there going, I've got this gift. It's a breakthrough. I've got it. Just don't get bitter. Get better. Don't get bitter. And you get really close to me. And stay planted, because I got to teach you some things that you're going through. You got to learn these things for what I have planned for you. And once you do, he's going to be like, bam, you're now the branch manager of the largest branch in the region. And bam, now you're going to be the senior pastor of a church. And you don't know everything you need to know yet, but I'll teach you along the way. But God, I'm going to ruin those people. No, you won't. But I'm going to make mistakes. Yes, you will. But I'll put my arm around you, Dave. When you're plinging and plonking as a pastor sometimes. And I'm going to bring some good out of that bad. I'm going to bless that church. And I'm going to change thousands of lives through the amazing volunteers and leaders and the people that support that ministry, Dave. So don't give up. You guys catch that? Don't give up. God has breakthroughs, you guys. He's got breakthroughs. For some of you, you got promotions awaiting you. God's saying, just be a stellar employee. Don't get bitter, get better. Be trustworthy. Get to a point where you have such integrity. Don't cut corners. You work so hard that your bosses are like, wow. They don't grumble. They're grateful. They're not inflexible. They're so flexible. They'll do what we ask them to do. God's got some possession breakthroughs. When Joseph got promoted to the palace, guess what? He got a Rolls Royce chariot, baby. It wasn't a Ford, let me tell you. He's like going around town, what's up? Yeah. And I'm not saying God's going to give you a Rolls Royce. But if any of you have one, you want to give it to me, that's cool. I'm just kidding. But what this breakthrough represents is God will bless you with some possessions sometimes. And God blessed Joseph with breakthroughs with people. Guess what God gave him? A family. He gave him a wife and two sons. Some of you have that coming your way. And so what God wants you to catch is do what Joseph did, because he's got some breakthroughs coming your way. I hope that encourages you. So for 7 years, Egypt is real disciplined. They store away the excess foods. And then guess who comes into town during this hardcore famine? 2.5 years into the famine, guess who rolls into town looking for food? Joseph's brothers. Okay, now remember, Joseph is the Pharaoh in charge. So the dream is fulfilled. They actually are bowing down to him like this. Okay? Joseph is now 39 years old. They don't even recognize him, scripture says, because he's now 22 years older. He's probably got Egyptian makeup on. I don't know. That's how I picture it. That was weird. And they don't recognize him. Now, if I were Joseph, after all that abuse and mistreatment and all that I'd gone through, let me tell you how I'd want to respond to them bowing to me. I'd want to respond like one of those mafia guys in the movies when he's got the enemies in front of him. And so the brothers would be bowing before me. I'd be like this. Well, well, well. Look what the cat dragged in here. Hey, hey, look at me. Look at me. Don't you look at me. Well, you thought that famine was bad, huh? Well, guess what? I'm your worst nightmare now. You want to know why? Because I'm your brother from another mother. It's Joseph! And it's time to pay the piper, baby! Oh, man, that's what my flesh would want to do. And don't you tell me you wouldn't feel like doing that. I'm saying your flesh. Would you? No. But doesn't your flesh, you know, do you ever have fantasies with your flesh? You don't want to get even with somebody? Maybe that's just me when I'm driving, you know. Somebody cuts me off, I'm just imagining. Yeah! Sorry, I'm working on that on the side here. But Joseph doesn't respond that way. He doesn't. You know what he does? Take a look at his response. See, his brothers, scriptures say, they thought he was going to kill them. They're like, oh my gosh, it's Joseph. Oh no. And they realize the dream was fulfilled. They're bowing down to him. They thought he was going to kill him. And he says this to him. He says, you intended to harm me. But all the mistreatment, the false accusations, all of the harm that was done to me, God intended it for what? For good. There's so much good he brought out of this. He prepared me to run a country. He taught me how to forgive. I got better, not bitter. And he intended it to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. So here's what happened. Instead of resenting and retaliating towards those who mistreated him, here's what Joseph did. He focused on the good that God is bringing out of the bad. You want to have more breakthroughs in your life, New Hope? Focus on the good that God's bringing out of the bad that's happening to you. Focus on what's right, not what's wrong. Let God open your eyes to the good he's bringing out of it. That's what Joseph did. And ultimately, you know what's cool? The immediate purposes for this nation were taken care of. They saved the nation by storing up all this food. But the greater purpose that God brought out of this situation was that he preserved the sons of Jacob so that they could become the nation of Israel for the purposes of God, because Jesus Christ came from the lineage of these sons. And it's amazing. And because of Jesus Christ, the good that came out of Joseph's life is that we now know Jesus and we're free and forgiven. And that's worth clapping for, you guys. That's amazing. Amazing. So let me just show you Joseph's life. I'm going to have some crowd participation at all of our locations, and we're going to wrap up here, okay? So how do you think Joseph felt when these things happened to him that we just talked about, okay? When he was misunderstood and rejected by family, do you think he felt like giving up or going on? He wanted to give up, right? So all locations, let me have you answer this one. Do you think he wanted to give, you think he felt like giving up or going on? He's sold into slavery in a foreign land. Give up or go on? Give up, right? Promoted in Potiphar's house. Go on, right? That was a go on moment. Falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Give up. Thrown in prison. Give up. Look at the next one. Promoted to lead the prisoners. Go on. Forgotten by the chief cupbearer. Give up. Remained in prison 2 years longer. Give up. Promoted to second command of Egypt. Joseph's family reunited and restored. Go on. Here's the point. Joseph had almost more than twice give up moments than go on moments. Here's what I want you to catch. When God is preparing you for breakthroughs, you will typically have more times you want to give up than when you want to go on. You'll have times when you want to give up. So what do you do when you're having those give up moments? You do what Joseph did. And here's what he did, man. Some of you need to take a picture of this on your phone. Don't get bitter. Get better. Let that situation God has you in right now make you better, not bitter. Remember, while you're in that prison you feel you're going through, that the Lord is with you. And focus on the good that God is bringing out of the bad. And I'm telling you, if you'll do these things as Joseph did, you're going to have breakthroughs along the way. New Hope, don't miss this. Some of you have job breakthroughs coming your way if you follow this. God's saying to you that he's got some relational breakthroughs that some of you are going through. You feel like you're in a prison in your relationship. You got some breakthroughs coming your way if you'll do this. God's saying to some of you, he's got some negative emotion breakthroughs he wants to come your way. If you'll do what he's talking about today, do what Joseph did. Position yourself for breakthroughs. breakthrough. And while you're waiting for that breakthrough, you remember, God, you are with me. I am not alone. Your arm is under me. You're going to take my plinks and planks and bring good out of it. And you're amazing. God, thank you. I'm one day closer to breakthrough. Can you say amen to that, New Hope? Amen. It's coming your way, I'm telling you. Get ready. And while that message God is speaking to us has come our way, our halal's going to come up, and they're going to dance to a song where it talks about God being a God of hills and valleys. And breakthroughs, our path to breakthroughs are hills and valleys. You know, hills are where we have great views, and valleys are kind of bad views. As you hear this song, I want you to know that the God that we serve is a God of the hills and the valleys. God is with you.
I've walked among the shadows, you wiped my tears away, and I've felt the pain of heartbreak, and I've seen the brighter days, and I've brought praise to heaven from my lowest place, and I have held the blessings, God, you give and take away. No matter what I have, your grace is enough. No matter where I am, I'm standing in your love. On the mountains I will bow my life to the one who set me. Dreams get broken, in you I hope again. No matter what, I know I'm safe inside your hand. On the mountains I will bow my life to the one who set me there. In the valley I will lift my eyes to the one who sees me there. When I'm standing on the mountain, I didn't get there on my own. When I'm walking through the valley, I know I.
All of our locations, let's bow our heads and pray to the God of the hills and the valleys. Let's go ahead and just bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for your desire to position us for breakthroughs. And you are the God of the hills and the valleys, and we praise you that we're not alone. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, I just want to pray for those here that are going through the prisons of life. I know some here, Lord, have been misunderstood and mistreated. And I pray, God, that you would just bring healing to their hearts. God, that you would soothe the aches and pains of their broken heart. And I pray, Lord, that in those mistreatments and in those false accusations and whatnot, God, I pray that you'd help us to become better, not bitter. All of our locations, some of you right now, I just sense that some of you, you need to choose to forgive those who've mistreated you. And that doesn't mean that you're saying that what they did was right. You're just choosing to let it go and you give it to God so that you can be set free from the prison of bitterness. So at all of our locations, some of you right now, just choose to forgive who's mistreated you. God has forgiven you. Choose to forgive them so you can be free. Just choose it right now. You can get free from that prison of bitterness. Thank you, Father. And Father, when we are falsely accused and when we're thrown in the prisons of life, would you help us to remember that you're with us? And thank you that you're a God who brings good out of bad. And even when people harm us and mistreat us, you can bring good out of it. So open our eyes, God, to see the good that you extract out of bad. You don't cause all the bad in our lives, but you promise to bring some good out of it. So just continue to bring good out of it. And Lord, thank you that you use our prisons to prepare us for breakthroughs. And you've got many breakthroughs coming our way. So we're excited, Lord. We're anticipating you to do more. And so, Father, would you help us to be praying and obeying and expecting more breakthroughs? And God, help us not to get bitter, but to get better and to remember you're with us and to focus on what's good and the bad, that the good that you can bring out of bad. Just do it all, God. We're ready for breakthroughs. Start releasing them right now in Jesus' name. With everybody's heads bowed, for some of you, your next step is to begin a relationship with Jesus. That's the first step to breakthrough. Joseph had God's spirit in him, and that led to breakthrough. That allowed him to not be bitter, but get better. When God's spirit was in him, it allowed him to sense and get close to God. And so get him in your life, invite him in. I'm going to say a prayer. And if you pray this prayer, you can invite God's spirit in you. And he'll forgive you. And he'll give you the power to forgive those who've mistreated you. And he'll start to prepare you and lead you into his plans for your life. So if you'd like to begin a relationship with Jesus, all of our locations, pray this prayer with me. And church family, let's pray this prayer with them out loud. Just say these words with me. Just say, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of my sins. I turn from my sins and I turn to you. Fill me with your spirit. Be my life leader, my Lord and Savior. Help me to follow you and position myself for your breakthroughs. I am believing, I'm expecting, and I am asking for more breakthroughs. And help me to do my part so that you can do your part for those breakthroughs. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Hey, let's congratulate those who said yes to Jesus. So good.